It's time for Money for Lunch, where we feed your brain and your business with supersized portions of business and financial news. Now your host, Bert Martinez.
And we're going to be talking to Mr. Bill Bartman. Bill Bartman is a highly recognized and awarded businessman, and he's got a very interesting story. I want you guys to listen to this. Bill, welcome to the show.
Well, Bert, thank you. It's my pleasure to be here.
Well, Bill, I know a lot of our listeners may not have heard your story, so before we get into it, and we're going to be talking about how to get out of credit card debt quickly, but before we get to that, give us a little bit about your background, a little bit about your story.
Well, certainly, and I guess we could start with the old standard rags to riches, but everybody's heard those stories so many times, they're almost like chopped liver anymore. So we don't call mine rags to riches, more like rats to riches. We grew up in a neighborhood where there were more rats per capita than there were people. But from there, fortunately, even though I was a high school dropout, spent 5.5 years in high school, I was an alcoholic by the time I was 17, I'm essentially deaf and wear hearing aids to hear about half of what goes on around about me, and grew up on welfare and poverty, and left home when I was 14. I managed to finally get my boat righted, as they would call it, and honestly, Bert, it happened because I met the woman of my life, the lady I met when I was 14 and she was 11. We dated for 10 years, and we've been married now for 36, and I give her all the credit in the world for kicking my rump, so to speak, back to the system. I got a GED. With my GED, I managed to get into college on probation, graduated on probation 4 years later, got into law school on probation, flunked out, got back in, finally graduated on probation, and with that, where Kathy and I have, over the course of our life, we've been blessed and fortunate that we've been able to have some pretty significant business success. In 1986, we went broke. I live in Oklahoma, and we were in the oil and gas business, and the price of oil went from $40 a barrel down to $14, and we went flat, bankrupt, broke, and from there we saw an opportunity, the same opportunity that's going on right now. We saw the economy being in the tank. We saw massive numbers of people being unemployed and banks failing, and so we started buying bad debt. We started buying charged-off credit cards for literally a nickel on the dollar, and with that, over the next 12 years, we created a billion-dollar company. Kathy and I became the 25th wealthiest people in America, members of the Forbes 400, and fortunately, we have won a whole list of business awards, none of which will buy you a cup of coffee anywhere, but they're real pretty when they hang on the wall.
Well, you know, it's good to be recognized by your peers. I think it does say a little bit, but you're right. When it comes down to it, it doesn't buy a cup of coffee. So tell us, Bill, you went from literally from rats to riches, as you like to say. You've been married to Kathy for 36 years?
36, yeah, which means she had to get a Purple Heart or something.
That's right. Well, you know, I think it's kind of cool that you give her all the credit. That is an amazing thing, how women can affect us.
Oh, absolutely, Bert. You know, and it's so understated. I mean, you know, the old adage of behind every successful man, there's a woman. Well, that is so much baloney. Kathy has never been behind me. She's never been in front of me. She's always been alongside of me. And people who have great relationships, those are the ones who more often than not are the ones who are great successes in life. So isn't there a lesson there? You know, get a relationship, keep a relationship, work a relationship, and then maybe the rest of your life will fall in place.
Well, absolutely. You know, it's very difficult to have success outside if you're not having success inside the home.
Oh, amen. Absolutely.
All right, well, let's get to it. Tell us about how to get out of credit card debt quickly.
Well, here is the quickest way possible, and it kind of rubs against the norm, and I don't want people to think I'm preaching some kind of financial anarchy or something when I tell them that, but remember now, the business that we created was buying charged-off credit cards, and we bought 4.5 million individual accounts, so I have some background here. What I'm suggesting, for people who are so far underwater that they can't see out, and, you know, that has a different definition for different people, but if you look at your own finances and say, at the job I have right now, at the way things are going, I am so far in. It doesn't matter how you got there. It doesn't matter whose fault it is. But if that's where you're at, you have to look at some pretty extraordinary situations to get out of the hole you're in. And one of the things you can do is, and here it comes, quit paying your credit card bills. Now, when you quit paying your credit card bills, it will hurt your credit rating. Oh, boy, there it is almost an immediate thing. But the truth of the matter is, Bert, if somebody's that far upside down, they already have already hurt their own credit rating. And so one more little ding on it isn't probably going to make a big difference to them. Now, conversely, if your credit is good, you'd never want to do this. But if your credit's already been shot, if you quit paying your credit card bills, here's what happens. And you will get some phone calls. You'll get collectors calling you. But if you just keep saying no, after 180 days, the credit card company, the bank, has to charge off the debt. That's a rule. That's a law, actually. That's a GAAP accounting rule. And the bank will charge off the debt and then sells those loans, those credit card debts, for as low as a nickel on the dollar to people like me. And when we buy them for a nickel on the dollar, we call up the same customer and we're prepared to settle for, you know, 15 cents on the dollar. So a person who is, say, $10,000 in debt on their credit card right now and can't pay the 10 grand because they just don't have it, they might be able to settle with somebody for, say, $1,500. And the problem is the bank won't let them settle with the bank for $1,500. So that's the one thing they can do is nothing. Don't pay your bills. And if you don't pay your bills, eventually they will be sold off to someone else who will settle with you for pennies on the dollar.
Well, that's a great strategy. It's kind of like reverse leverage.
It is exactly that. You know, it's kind of the one step short of bankruptcy. You know, when you file bankruptcy because you're so far in you can't get back out, you know you're going to hurt your credit, but you also know you're going to effectuate a solution. You know you're going to make a whole bunch of that junk go away. Well, this is a half step. Now, it's certainly right in line with going bankrupt because it's heading down that path, but it may be the one thing that keeps you from filing bankruptcy, and it would be better to have one or two creditors messing up your credit score as wiping out all of them.
Right. Typically, bankruptcy, and I know the bankruptcy law has changed, and maybe you don't know the answer, but typically bankruptcy tends to stay on your credit for, what is it now, 7 or 10 years?
It is as long as 10 years that it will continue to show up or haunt you, as they say. And yes, I'm familiar with that. In 1986, we filed bankruptcy. So I know again from experience that that is the last straw, last resort, and I don't encourage people to do it unless they just absolutely can't take care of their family, can't take care of their other obligations. There is a higher sense of order here, and that's why the bankruptcy rules were created. You know, not for just to let people run up bills and just say, oh, the heck with it, I'll just walk away from it. No, it's for good, honest, serious, legitimate people who find themselves in a place they never would have imagined.
Sure. And you know, the thing that you just hit on there that people don't realize is that when you start believing that it'll never happen to you, that's when it happens to you.
Oh, and right now, Bert, it's happening to people who have never, ever imagined it can happen to them. See, in the old days, a few years ago, we used to think that people with credit card problems and the people who would think about bankruptcy, well, those are, you know, we would kind of put them in that, well, they must be lazy or they must not have gotten a good education or they probably didn't work very hard. And we kind of put them all in a little category, rightly or wrongly. That's kind of the way we do things. But this time around, in this great recession we're in right now, there are people who did it by the rules. They went to school, they studied hard, they got good grades, they went and got a job, they showed up for work every single day of their life, they went and bought a house with a white picket fence, they married the girl next door, they followed every single rule to follow the American dream, and it turned out that maybe some of that wasn't as true as they told us. And now these are people who have never failed before, have never had difficulties before, and now they're unemployed and not able to pay their bills.
You know, something that you just brought up, I think that this generation is one of those generations that hasn't been tested. This economy is their first test.
It is indeed, and I feel so bad for the people going through what they're going through right now. Now, a guy like me, I'm 61 years old, and I have failed and succeeded and failed and succeeded and failed and succeeded, and I have screwed up so many times it's almost pathetic. I'm good at failure. I'm good at screwing up. I'm good at getting knocked down and figuring out how to get back up because I've done it a lot. Now, people who have never had it happen to them, it is the most traumatic thing they may experience in their entire lifetime. And quite frankly, some of them may not know how to deal with it.
Well, it sounds like, you know, what you're saying is failure is a good way to succeed.
It is the only way to succeed. And here's a challenge I give everybody on this call. The Forbes 400 is a list that's published every October by Forbes magazine, so you can go online and get it or wherever you might choose to read it. And read the stories of the people who are on the Forbes 400 list. And except for a few people who inherited some money, and there's usually a handful of them on there, the ones who are self-made, every one of them failed at least once. Some of them failed a half a dozen times. Some of them have filed bankruptcy three or four times in their life. And that's what it almost takes, failure to succeed.
Well, you know, Walt Disney, I believe, filed bankruptcy four
Indeed.
Or five times.
Indeed.
And on top of that, his best friend, which is the famous Art Linkletter, you know, gave up on him, wouldn't lend him the $1,000 he needed to buy what is now Walt Disney in Anaheim.
Mm-hmm. No, but, I mean, the stories are, you know, I mean, they're by the thousands. And so, you know, when I started, I'm a student of this industry because I try to share what it is I've learned along the way. The very reason you and I are on this call today is hoping that maybe somebody will hear something that might have some value in their life. Well, I began looking at all of the reasons people succeed and the reasons people fail, and I found an awful lot of correlation between having failed and learning a lesson and then going to a much higher success than you ever would have been able to go to but for the failure.
Absolutely. Bill Bartman, thank you very much. This is Bert Martinez. Thank you.
And Bert, you're very welcome. Have a great day.
Did you bring the camera phone?
I did.
Do you want to go first?
I've been waiting for this all day.
Okay, this is Bro and Stacy.
Introducing Chase Quick Deposit. Just photograph the front and back of your check using the Chase mobile app on your iPhone and hit send.
It went through?
So cool.
This is so cool.
You want to try it?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, who's next?
Make a deposit from anywhere, anytime with your iPhone.
To Mr. and Mrs. Walker, why would they send my parents a check?
Chase what matters.
It's time for Money for Lunch, where we feed your brain and your business with supersized portions of business and financial news. Now your host, Bert Martinez.
Hey guys, welcome back to Money for Lunch, one of our regular contributors, and really one of those guys that I find amazing to talk to, Dr. Steve G. Jones, a board-certified clinical hypnotherapist. He has been practicing hypnotherapy since 1980s. He's the author of 22 books on hypnotherapy. He's also a member of the National Guild of Hypnotists, American Board of Hypnotherapy, president of the American Alliance of Hypnotists, on the board of directors of the Los Angeles chapter of the American Lung Association, and director of the California State Registered Steve G. Jones School of Hypnotherapy. In order to keep up with the very latest in research, he regularly attends training conferences. And you can find out more about Steve G. Jones. Where else? SteveGJones.com. Steve G. Jones, welcome to Money for Lunch.
Well, thank you, Bert. Good to be here.
Absolutely. So, all right, so catch me up. I just saw a picture of you and Dr. Joe Vitale up in Vegas. What's going on?
Joe was here handling a few things and relaxing, and I was able to catch up with him. We had a breakfast, and we talked about some new ideas that we're working on. We're going to create the sequel to the Wealth Trigger, such a powerful product designed to help people get in touch with their wealth potential. We're going to create the third version of that, since one and two did so well. And we talked about a follow-up to our Law of Attraction certification program and a few other ideas. And we just really made the most of what I would call a power breakfast.
I love it. I love it. It's kind of like breakfast. What do you call it? Money for breakfast, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And more importantly, helping people for breakfast.
That's right. I love it. I love it. All right. So listen, I wanted to get your thoughts on this. As you probably heard my intro there about clarity, you're the guy that I'm so excited to have on the show because you really deal with the mind more than just about anybody I know. You have a certain understanding of how the mind works and how we either are managed by our thoughts or how we manage our thoughts. What is your take on clarity? How important is that?
Well, I think it's everything. You know, you can do a lot of things and not get much done if you're not clear. You just become kind of like a a shotgun rather than a bullet. You've got to really be focused. And as you said, you know, if things aren't coming your way, then maybe you're not clear on what you want. I remember in my life at a certain point looking for a house and looking. This house didn't look right. That house didn't look right. And what I really found out was I didn't want to buy a house in that time in that area. So if you're not clear on your intentions, and you can think you are, but if you're not clear, your actions are going to be ineffective and meaningless.
Yeah, you know what? And I think that's a great example. I mean, you know what? We think we want that house, or we think we want that business, or we think we want whatever, fill in the blank. And then it's just not feeling right. We're struggling. And then, you know, after maybe months or whatever, you decide, you know what, I'll just put that off. And all of a sudden you get that peace and you realize, oh, you know what, it wasn't for me at this time in my life. I wasn't ready for it because I wasn't really clear as to what I wanted. I think that's a great example.
Yeah, thanks. And I think a lot of people get caught up in this. I mean, marriage, you know, they get on this track to marriage. Okay, I guess we're going to get married. And, you know, their heart's not really into it. People can tell their heart's not really into it. And then, you know, they realize after the fact, in many cases, that it wasn't the right move for them. So it can be starting a new business, moving somewhere, getting a house, you know, a relationship that they're in, or thinking of getting in, or thinking of furthering a car they're thinking of buying. It could be anything. But if you feel that you're really not invested in it, maybe take a step back and realize it's okay to not be into it right now. And what's much more powerful is to realize that and to give yourself the liberty to step away from it and to be okay in that situation.
Yeah, and I like that. Let me ask you this. Let's talk about this. Okay, so here's somebody who would like to get clarity. They want to be clear. They want to have that passion that we all get when we're clear. What are your suggestions? How can somebody go from confused or unclear to clear?
Well, there are a number of great ways to do it. You know, and this is going to sound a little off the beaten path. It's going to sound perhaps a little non-scientific, but it's something that actually is backed up with science. And this is something that a friend of mine introduced me to just maybe a week ago. And it sounds strange, I know. But if you stand, just stand with your legs about a foot or two apart, just a normal stance for you, shoulder-width apart, and close your eyes and ask yourself a series of calibrating questions first. Am I standing on the ground? Now, yes should be leaning forward, no should be leaning backwards. Now, it's not some metaphysical force. It's not the wind. It's not anything unusual moving you. It's yourself. It's your subconscious mind sending signals through your legs to your feet to move you either forward or backwards. So you ask calibrating questions. Am I standing on the ground? Okay, lean forward. That's a yes. Am I wearing clothes? Okay, lean forward. That's a yes. Am I alive? Okay, I lean forward. That's a yes. Make sure you get the correct answer for the questions that you know the answer to. Then start asking questions you don't know the answer to. Should I buy this car? Should I marry this person? Do I want to go to the gym today? You can ask all kinds of yes or no questions. That is a great way to get clear, a way that I just found out about. But the beauty of it is it's kind of like hypnosis because it gets to the subconscious mind. Your subconscious mind is sending signals to your body to move it in a certain way to give you the answers that you want. Now, that's just one of many ways to get clear.
You know what? I like that because, first of all, we're starting with the known, and it allows you to understand or feel, surety, right, a certainty about what you already know, and it allows you to, you know, get grounded in those feelings before you start asking the unknown questions that might be puzzling you. So I love that because you're starting with the known, and then you're gaining confidence and strength, and then you're working towards the unknown. I like that. It's a very simple, you can do anywhere kind of solution.
Yeah, it's fun. And when my friend first showed this to me, I thought, you've got to be kidding. Because he said, you know, when somebody asked me if I wanted to go to the gym, I asked myself first. And I said, what do you mean you ask yourself? And he said, well, here's what I do. I stand here and I say, do I want to go to the gym? And if I lean forward, it's a yes, backwards, it's a no. Now, sometimes you know the answer to something. Now, if you already know the answer consciously, don't use that method. It's just going to slow you down. But if you're unsure, and you don't know, realize that your subconscious mind does know. Now, sometimes you'll just stand there. Sometimes there won't be a forward or backward motion, and that's okay also. That means you don't have a definite stance, pardon the pun, on the issue. But in many, many cases, this can streamline your entire day.
No, I think it's fascinating, and I think it's also fascinating, too. You know, one of the things that I talk about is, you know, I like to use the example because I remember this so vividly when I was in college and also early on in my career where I would be, you know, literally flat broke. You know, here I am, I'm barely making my ends meet, and all of a sudden I have a major car malfunction, and I need whatever it is, $300, $500, $600 to fix my car. Now, I don't have $500 or $600, and so, you know, at first, this is, you know, what I think is an overwhelming issue, and it certainly looks like tragedy. But then because I'm so clear as to what I need and why I need it, that, you know, all of us come up with that money. You know, we come up with the money to fix the car or to get, you know, to make tuition or to buy the outfit for that interview that, you know, whatever. We come up with the money because, again, it's so vividly clear as to what we need and why we need it. And within a few days, you know, come, you know, whatever, whatever happens, you come up with the money.
Absolutely. I've seen that time and again. I have a friend who does a program, and it's called Awesomeness Fest. He puts on this program every year. It's in a different part of the world. It's a little pricey for the for, you know, people to get to. They've got to pay their round-trip airfare, and they've got to pay for their hotel and their food while they're there. So we're talking about probably around $3,000 commitment on average. I see people find a way to get there. I mean, this thing is sold out every year. And the people who get there in their everyday lives, they usually don't have the means, the financial means, to do a lot of things. But when it comes to that, they do. What they find when they get there is they oftentimes have a breakthrough or a connection that's going to help them out quite a bit. But it's things like that. You know, maybe there's a, you know, Tony Robbins seminar in town, and people think, well, I don't know if I'll find the money. And like you said with the car, you know, they find the money. So you find the money to do the things that matter to you. And when you get clear about something like a car, you know, got to have a car, got to get from point A to point B, when you find it's a necessity, when you make it a necessity in your life, when you get to that point, it becomes clear. So you can apply this to all kinds of things rather than just a car or a seminar or a trip. You can apply it to, you know, a college education or building a business or making new contacts or anything else you want to apply it to.
Yeah, and what I find interesting about this clarity issue, that it isn't based on money. Again, you and I just gave great examples of why it doesn't. Money has no play in it. It's not based on technology. It's not based on environment. You don't have to be in the right neighborhood. You don't have to have, you know, whatever, the latest gadgets. It's really just your own visioning of that goal or whatever it is that you're trying to solve. And all of a sudden, man, I think that the universe opens up, it unlocks itself, and just like, you know, easy as 1, 2, 3, things happen. And it's almost like a miracle. You know, and I know that this is a big part of law of attraction, and I think it's also, you mentioned hypnotic. It is hypnotic, you know, because I think when we struggle, you know, don't we kind of make that an affirmation or a hypnotic, chronic thought that, man, I'm struggling, man, I'm struggling, man, I don't know how I'm going to do this, I don't know what my next step is, and we get caught up in our own self-talk that almost hypnotically screws us up.
Oh, absolutely. And I like what you said, Bert, about it not being related to money. You know, I was reading a book recently called David and Goliath by one of my favorite authors, which is Malcolm Gladwell. And he was talking about the inverted U-shaped curve. You know, at a certain point, money helps. The more money you have, the more things you can do. At a certain point, it starts working against you. And the Davids can come along and do better than a big corporation with a lot of money, because the big corporation with a lot of money gets a little sidetracked. They have a lot of money, but there's certain things because of that that they're not able to see. So there is some sort of a trade-off that happens. If you get too big, you can start to lose sight of certain things, And having money is not essential in a competition. You might think, well, I've just started this business and going up against this established business. There's a certain advantage, as brought out in the book, that you can have even starting out. And what that comes down to is your focus and your passion and simplifying all the things that you're talking about. When you are focused on what you are doing, you are going to be more streamlined than you've ever been before, and you're going to get the job done.
I love it. And we're going to end on that note. Dr. Steve G. Jones, thank you so much for stopping by and sharing. It's good to have you back as always. We'll talk to you later.
Thank you.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch. And check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.
My name is Peter Shankman, and I have a new book coming out called Zombie Loyalists, Using Great Service to Create Rabid Fans. If you go to a restaurant and you eat there and they really like you and you go back a lot and they treat you really well and they buy you a free drink and you bring friends and all you want to do is go to that place and that's the restaurant you go to all the time, you're a zombie loyalist for that restaurant. In my new book, I'm going to show you how to create zombie loyalists for your business, whatever kind of business that is. You're going to create customers who are so in love with you. They want to do your PR, they want to do your marketing, and they want to do your advertising for you. Remember, when you tell the world how awesome you are, no one believes you. But when someone else tells the world how awesome you are, everyone believes it. I'm going to show you how to be awesome to those customers so they bring you more and more customers and driving your revenue through the roof. Sales are going to explode. Customers are going to explode. Everyone is going to love you. This book will change what you think about your customers, how you treat them, and how you do business. It's going to be a wild ride. Everyone loves zombies. Buckle up.
It's an absolute pleasure. I'm being joined by Tom Skerritt, who is a international celebrity movie star. He's been in, I don't know, countless movies, some of the best movies in the world. Just connected with Tom. Tom, thanks for stopping by, or thanks for joining me for this quick interview.
Oh, sure.
All right, so let me ask you, because you have done some of the best movies ever. Is there a movie that surprised you that maybe you didn't think was going to do so well, and all of a sudden it became big time?
I can't say that I've had that experience. I've been having more the other way.
Is that right? Okay.
Halfway through a film and say, we got something here.
Gotcha.
There have been those that I thought, well, I'm being paid well for this one, and that's about it. But they're pretty predictable.
Okay. Let me ask you this. Let's talk about this, because there's so much happening in the world today. And with your career, because you've had to have ups and downs, right? And everybody knows about your ups. What about some of your downtime? When you're going through a struggle or an obstacle, any advice to those out there who might be trying to break into Hollywood or get a script, bought or something like that? When you hit a wall or an obstacle, how do you deal with that?
You know, I've never thought of it that way, but I very early on recognized the challenge is absolutely essential for the human condition.
Right.
Every day you got to face a challenge. And it's the challenge is that, ideally, that thing that you look at and say, well, this is not going to kill me, and it's not going to maim me, but chances are the worst I'll get out of it is I will learn something. The best I'll get out of it is I'll learn something.
Right.
And there is no clear path. If there is a clear path to something, you haven't learned a thing.
There's no shortcuts.
No, there's no shortcuts. In today's society, we're very much of a short attention span, instant gratification culture, if that is a culture. In fact, we are not a culture, but there is that way of thinking that it belies what we just said. It seems to be that feeling of, I need it and I need to have it now, or I want it and I want to have it now. And
if I can't get it, then I'm being wronged and stuff like that. That's that entitlement type of mentality.
Yeah, that suggests a person who hasn't learned anything from his or her failures.
Maybe they haven't struggled enough yet to,
I guess not. I mean, life has learned you about if you're in the water, you either sink or swim.
That's right. That's right. Let me ask you this. Okay, speaking of society, one of the things that I find really appalling, I'd love to get your opinion on this, is that when I was growing up, when we were growing up...
Where did you grow up?
Where?
Where?
In Houston, Texas. What about you?
Detroit.
Detroit, okay.
Same thing.
Yeah. Same kind of humidity.
Yeah.
Okay, so check this out. When, you know, we were taught about winning and losing. And so if we joined a Pee Wee League or whatever and we lost, well, we lost, but we learned from it. Now it seems like you get a trophy for everything. There's, you know, there's some leagues that don't even, that do not keep score. They don't even do win or lose. What's your take on that? Is that hurting us, you think?
Yeah, I think that's, well, a whole lot of things are going off kilter, I think, in our society. Largely, this sort of thing you're describing is that, look, our imagination is one of the key things and one of the most delightful things we can have ownership of. And a lot of what you're talking about is taking away that challenge of the imagination, that challenge of taking the risk of possibilities.
Right.
The things that challenges give you, that radio used to give us.
Yes.
About. Are the books, good books, opening a book in front of you, you got words. It's giving you the benefit of your imagination. It's not spelling it all out. And now we seem to be a society that wants everything laid out, or at least the producers seem to think we want everything laid out in front of us. And I think they're doing us a disservice, yes.
Absolutely. It's gotten to the point now where...
Do you agree with that?
Absolutely. We could have a whole panel discussion on this, right?
I'm living it now.
All right, so... you have some fans here, so I'm going to cut this short. But let me ask you this. Okay, again, you've done a tremendous amount of work. Is there one particular film that you consider your favorite over the other?
You know, I've been asked that question
all the time.
and I just to be able to do what I've been able to do
right.
All these years, man, how can I pick one over the other? I mean, I look at these photos here.
I know.
I
mean, there's
wow, just... that's a classic. Oh, that's a classic. Wow, that's a classic. I want a lucky SOB, man.
Well, you know what?
I've been able to make a living doing this and having these things offered to me. I've been given the gift of learning every time I go out.
That's a great attitude.
And to be able to learn every day, to this day. To this day, all I know is how much more I need to know to be better.
I like that. I like that. Okay, so let me ask you this.
Does that help?
That helps me out a lot. That's great. That's great. Very few people have that kind of body of work, and I appreciate your attitude, too. But let me ask you this. When you were getting started, did you always want to be an actor? Was that your goal,
or
did you fall into that?
I'm a blue-collar guy from Detroit. Are you kidding? Auto workers, that's all I knew. We had no... exposure to art, for the most part, except in the school system, which unfortunately I gather have been cut out of programs. But that opening of the imagination at a very early time in my life, and I think everyone's life, when you've had that exposure to something that really did something to you that nothing else has done before, and it's that imagination that we talk about.
Right.
And that I know I'm probably not going to answer your question with this one, but to have those moments that you must say that moment really changed everything for me. It made me understand there's more than this neighborhood I live in. There's more than the city I live in. There's more out there to grasp, to absorb, to bring into your world to make you more viable, more
right.
Worth being alive.
I like that. Now, you know what? One of my favorite characters that you played, by the way, has nothing to do with the movies, but has to do with your appearance on Cheers. And I thought it was great to see you in a comedic role because you do that so well as well. But it was one of my favorite characters that you appeared on Cheers for, you know, several times and kind of showed off your comical side.
Yeah. What's aggressive?
No question. It was just a compliment. All right. Well, listen.
The thing is, you know, we're a categorical society. We want everything to be neat and clean.
Yeah, we don't want anything to change.
But the fact is, any actor that's been around for a while can do it all. The only thing I don't know that I could do would be Shakespeare, because I haven't really taken that challenge on. But comedy is how I started. In theater.
I did not know that. You started in comedy.
But I was going to be a filmmaker. I went to UCLA to be a filmmaker, I understand.
I did not
but
know
if I was going to be a filmmaker, I had to know how to act. I was an English major who was drawn towards filmmaking. And one thing after another, I wound up making a living as an actor because I thought I could learn from the directors I'm working with. If you're going to be there, you have an opportunity to work with camera operators, with editors, the writers, all of it. And crews, and how do you deal with people?
Right.
That's what you learn by working on a set. I never thought I'd wind up making a living as an actor.
That's incredible. What a great story. Anyway, you have a line up here of people who want to talk to with you. Thank you so much for taking out the time to speak with me. And it's been a lot of fun.
Great interview there by actor, award-winning actor Tom Skerritt, one of my favorite people. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and then we'll be back right after this.
Welcome back to Geico Radio. It's savings on the radio.
Caller Steve. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I just got a free rate quote on geico.com. Saved a ton, and it only took me 5 minutes and 12 seconds. I was wondering, is that some sort of record?
That's a good question. Then let's have a look.
Not quite. Someone's got you beat by 8 seconds.
Still, I mean, that's quite fast.
Well, what if I told you I only use one hand?
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch. And check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.
Well, I'm not sure what it is. I guess I'll be okay.
I'm calling the studio, Matthew. You're not shooting today.
Just get some rest.
He bought it.
Hi, can I get my CRV brought up, please?
Roderick. Roderick.
Life is packed with things you have to do.
But sometimes you gotta live a little.
Matthew, you poor thing. You sound awful.
How could I resist?
Look, I don't know what to tell you. He's sick. Actors get sick sometimes.
Thanks.
Have a good night.
Life moves pretty fast. If you don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it.
Get going in the all-new CR-V from Honda.
Welcome back to Geico Radio. It's savings on the radio.
Caller Steve. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I just got a free rate quote on geico.com. Saved a ton, and it only took me 5 minutes and 12 seconds. I was wondering, is that some sort of record?
That's a good question. Then let's have a look.
Not quite. Someone's got you beat by 8 seconds.
Still, I mean, that's quite fast.
Well, what if I told you I only use one hand?
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch. And check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.
All right, we are back. Jeanette Gleason is my next guest. Jeanette is CEO of Gleason Consulting Group. Jeanette is sought after as a high-level business coach and strategist or lifecycle marketing expert. Her strong background and passion for database marketing led her to become an Infusionsoft certified consultant, a 2011 Ultimate Marketer finalist, and a 2013 grand prize winner of the Chevrolet Camaro in the Big Drive sales competition. Jeanette thrives on her mission to empower others to create their dream lifestyle as she's done for herself. Jeanette Gleason, welcome to Money for Lunch.
Thank you so much, Bert. So great to be here today.
You bet. So let's talk about this 2013 grand prize winner of the Chevrolet Camaro.
Yeah, so before I talk about that, I'd like to tell a little background story before I get there and why I even entered that contest. My background is actually in teaching. I was an elementary school teacher before we started our family. And it was important for me to stay home, you know, with the kids when they were babies. And we moved from Chicago to Arizona to start a business for my husband. He's a financial planner. And, you know, I was helping him from home and, you know, just doing some high-level planning with him. But he was running the business. Well, you know, things kind of, it was a roller coaster of a ride. And his office manager quit suddenly before the holidays 1 year. And Joe asked me, can you come in and help me? Just, I need to hire somebody new. I need somebody to answer the phones. And so I said, of course, and went in and, you know, just really started tinkering around with this software program that he had called Infusionsoft and just learning about all the things that it could do. And I would, you know, build a little email sequence or send a broadcast and really started to fall in love with marketing. So that's when I, you know, really put together some campaigns for our business. We were really struggling at the time, and we were able to, in just a few short months, double our revenue, double our client base. And so I was really proud of what I had done. And so I entered Infusionsoft's Ultimate Marketer Contest. And again, just, you know, just a few months before, I was a stay-at-home mom. And all of a sudden, I was chosen as one of their finalists, speaking in front of 1,000 people, sharing marketing strategies. So it was just all kind of a whirlwind, you know, one of those things that really felt like it fell into my lap. And but anyway, I wasn't chosen. I did not win that contest. I came
in
as a
runner-up. The Ultimate Marketer.
Yeah, the Ultimate Marketer competition. I was a runner-up, and I was devastated. I thought I would, you know, I thought I had won, and I felt, you know, I went home just with my head hanging down, like just feeling really let down and disappointed with what had happened. After
sure,
I mean, picked
you know,
myself.
After mm-hmm. What's so funny too? I have to point this out. This is so. What do you call it? Human nature. Okay, stay-home mom, which by the way is extremely hard work, right? So you're a stay-home mom,
yes.
And then you kind of fall into this Infusionsoft thing, and then you know from the time that you did your first Infusionsoft campaign until you entered your Infusionsoft contest, how much time was that?
It was only by the time I entered it, it was only about 3 months. By the time I submitted the application to Infusionsoft.
Okay, so and my point being is that here you are, you're hanging your head down low, you're a little upset after only being basically a marketer for 3 or 4 or 5 months or whatever it was, right? So anyway, just wanted to interject how as humans we quickly evolve our expectations. So go ahead. I'm sorry.
I know, and then everyone, you know, I just felt I was embarrassed too. You know, I thought, oh, I put myself out there, I did this, and I failed was, you know, what was going through my mind. But then after I got over it, you know, I got over myself, picked myself back up, and I said, look, hey, I've really done something great. To even be selected as a finalist was a true privilege. And then other business owners began to approach me. Can you help me like you helped your husband? I need help with Infusionsoft too. So that's when Gleason Consulting Group was born. So it was actually a really, you know, just a life-changing moment for me. But it still was in the back of my mind always that I didn't win. And I began to reflect throughout my whole life as I had the second place mindset. You know, I knew I had the tools and the training to, you know, to be able to do the marketing, but I didn't have the mindset to be a winner. And I know I self-sabotaged myself because I kept telling myself, wow, these other finalists are really awesome. Why am I even here with them? And so, you know, that self-sabotage that I found myself having the second place mindset my entire life. Just even, I used to be an organist, and I would enter contests as a child, and I'd come home with the third place trophy, the second place trophy, but never the first place trophy. So I thought about, you know, what is it about me that doesn't feel like I can ever be number one, that I can I can do well enough to be up in the top and receive, you know, that experience, but never number one. So I remember sitting at an awards dinner for Infusionsoft certified partners, and all these people were going up and getting awards for selling Infusionsoft and for, you know, providing service for their customers. And I said to myself, I'm going to be up on that stage next year, and I'm going to be number one. Lo and behold, just a couple of months later, Infusionsoft announced their next contest, which was the Big Drive competition. And the partner who sold, it was during summer, and it's just funny, it's like it started 3 years ago this weekend. It was Memorial Day weekend was the kickoff of this contest. So I've got all these memories going, you know, going back to when I decided to enter. And I had only sold a handful of Infusionsoft subscriptions my entire career. And I would have, they expected the winner would need to sell 50 within a 3 month period. So I set my mind on that Camaro, and things began to happen, and I began to change my mindset. I hired coaches. I really worked on staying positive and working really hard. You know, I worked my tail off. That summer was, you know, getting up early in the morning to build systems and, do sales calls. So anyway, it was just kind of this wild ride, and I started to tell other people of the things that I did. I created a vision board with the Camaro on top. I created a chart. It was a big thermometer with 50 sections in it, and I put it up in our living room, and I got the kids some markers, and I said, every Infusionsoft app I sell, you get to color in a block. And then, you know, going up all those sections up the thermometer. And then everybody got to, my Camaro was on top, but our son at the time wanted the Lego Death Star, which is like this huge, big Lego set. He had his mind on. So I got the whole family involved with it, and I automated emails to myself with positive messages every day using Infusionsoft. And I just started sharing these stories with people, like, and really worked on avoiding, eliminating doubt, because I couldn't ever think that I couldn't win. And that's what I had to overcome, what I learned in that Ultimate Marketer contest, that I had self-doubt. So anyway, at the end of the 3 months, it was a nail-biter of a race, I say, because it was down. I won by one sale, and I was up at like midnight. The deadline was at midnight, and I was putting in my final sales. And anyway, I won that beautiful red Camaro, and it sits sitting in my garage right now, and it's this symbol of success and having that mindset. You know, we have the tools. We have the skills. We have the tools to be successful, but so many times it's that doubt that gets in our way and that mindset. Sure. For any business owner. And now I'm coaching. I wrote my book, The Road to Sweet Success, because I wanted to share these strategies, these tips, and my story to inspire other business owners and executives and just really anybody to go after their dream, whether it's, you know, a certain revenue goal that they want to hit or a vacation they want to take or their dream house that they want to build, that we can do it. Just takes some mindset training to get there.
Absolutely. You know what? I think you hit the nail right on the head. I think that, and I want to get your opinion on this. I think that is the biggest obstacle that we face as moms, as dads, as CEOs, as entrepreneurs, as whatever, and, you know, fill in the blank. It is that mindset. You talked about how you felt like as though you self-sabotaged. You felt as though maybe you could compete and get in second and third place, but first place seemed just right out of your reach or whatever. You know, what is your thought? Is that the biggest obstacles that we face when trying to achieve our goal?
It really is. And now I coach others with mindset, executive teams at large companies and individuals. And I was just actually sitting down with a friend of mine last week. And because she told me she's launching her new book. And I said, okay, well, what's your plan to get it to be a bestseller? And she looked at me Like, I don't have a plan to get it to bestseller. It never even crossed her mind. She was just getting ready to launch it and share it with the world. And I said, no, we're going to get it to bestseller. And so we got together for a coaching session, and I gave her some ideas of, you know, how to get a book to bestseller on Amazon. And I said, you know, it's really about believing. She had to get to the point that she believed she could have a best-selling book. And just by having what I call, or my coach calls, believing eyes, those people that are around you that believe in you, I believe she had a best-selling book. She didn't believe she had a best-selling book until we had this conversation. We made a plan, and then she got together what she called her book angels. These were going to be all of the people that would help her promote this book on, through emails, through social, you know, sharing on social media. And by golly, 2 days later, she not only hit the bestseller list, she made number one in two categories on Amazon. And just to watch her take action, but get to a state of belief about herself and that she could, in fact, have a best-selling book was key to her success.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. But, you know, what's interesting is, again, it's that mindset. She already started, she had the mindset, hey, I'm going to have a book. I'm going to put together a book. And then you were of the mindset, well, let's make it a best-selling book. And the difference in mindset is huge, but the effort involved isn't that big of a difference, is it?
No. It took her for a couple of days, she was extremely focused on now becoming a best-selling author. So there was action, but it was inspired action. It was fun. At no point was she, you know, thinking, oh, this is painful. This, I don't want to do this. I mean, every
what has
of it
Jeanette
was just,
got me into?
I know. Yeah. What does she want? Why? But her dream came true. She said,
right,
I always dreamed of having a best-selling book. And that's why I hire coaches. I have mentors. I belong to mastermind groups, because I want to be around people that believe in me more than I believe in myself, and to get ideas and get encouragement and get motivation from others is what helps me always keep getting to the next level.
Yeah, I like that. I like that so much. All right, so let's talk about your book. It's called The Sweet Road to Success?
The Road to Sweet Success.
The Road, I'm sorry, The Road, here it is, The Road to Sweet Success. See what happens when I try to go off memory. The Road to Sweet Success by Jeanette Gleason. So you're sitting around, you're saying, hey, I'm going to write this book because, what was the inspiration? Why did you want to write this book?
I wanted to have something to hand people. There are so many times I would, you know, be coaching somebody and I was telling the same stories and the same strategies over and over again. And I actually was then approached by one of the executives at Infusionsoft. She called me and said, Jeanette, she had heard my story and she had followed me through this contest and heard my story. And I was telling her how I was visualizing giving my acceptance speech every night before I went to bed during the contest. I imagined myself up on stage giving that speech. And so I gave that speech over 100 times in my mind before it actually came true.
Right.
And she had remembered all of that, and she said, I want to hire you as my visualization coach. So I've got some really big goals for my department this last quarter of the year, and I need your help. So I began to bring her through this process. I began to write down, here are all the things that I did during the big drive. So it got me to really think about that there was a process to what I did. And I started walking her through that process, coaching her to do the same things. And then I went, also coached her management team as well. I did a couple of activities with them. So going through that process of coaching her and getting their stories of success, and they not only hit their goals, they crushed them that quarter. And it was one of the most amazing times of my life. And I thought, I really need, this can help so many people. I need to write this book and be able to give it to people. And so now, you know, I hear somebody who has a goal, you know, Nadine, the lady I was just telling you about, I gave her my book and I said, here, and here's where, you know, here are the parts I want you to read. And so it's really a handbook, a guidebook to take people from, I have this dream, I have this goal, how to get them prepared for their journey, and then, you know, how to manage all of the obstacles that come your way. Because it's not, you know, if you have this really lofty goal, this really lofty dream, it's not going to come easy.
Right.
And it's really about growing. It's really about learning what are my weaknesses and how can I overcome them. And so that makes me grow as a person, as a business owner, as a friend, as a, you know, as a partner, as a mother. I always take, you know, challenges in my life, whether they're self-imposed or not, and look in the good for everything. So that's why I wrote the book, just to inspire other people. My purpose for our companies, both my husband and I, our purpose is to empower people to create their dream lifestyle. As a financial planner, he can help people create that plan to live their dreams. As a business consultant or as a mindset coach, my goal is to help people live their dreams too, whether it's opening a second office or, you know, hitting that revenue goal, or another one of my clients just finished organizing a trek to Angel's Landing in Utah, a bicycle trek, and see him fulfill that. Like, it's just living, you know, life shouldn't be hard. We should be able to, you know, we work, we have our businesses, we have our jobs for an end result so that we can live a happy life doing the things that we love to do and ultimately feeling fulfilled.
Yeah, I like that so much. Let's talk about this real quick. In the book, you talk about 10 strategies that will help people keep their eye on the finish line. Now, are these 10 strategies that you have to follow in a sequence, or how do you suggest you use the 10 strategies?
Yes, I recommend the first time you read the book to go through them in order, that each of these strategies will build on the previous one. So once you kind of master the first one about actually just identifying your goal, then you can move on to getting to that state of belief. You have to get to a state of belief before you begin to take action. So they do follow in order. But then as you begin to master these little strategies, and they're fun games, and they're very practical tips and tools that you can apply in your life, once you begin to practice them, then they become a way of life. And so then you can, you know, I don't necessarily follow them in order anymore. It's just kind of, I know what to do when at a certain point. And then, the book then can just become a handbook. Like, oh, gosh, I've got doubt. What do I do? And then you can go to that chapter. So first time, follow in order. Then subsequent times, you can just kind of pick and choose and go back and read those stories and apply new strategies.
Gotcha. I like that. And, you know, when you're trying to master something, and this is the difference, you know, when people I'll meet people all the time and we'll be talking about a book and they'll say, hey, I read that book once. How long ago? Well, I read it like 10 years ago. It's very difficult to master anything after you've done it one time. That's my first thought. Second of all, especially if you haven't done it in a long time. So I want to kind of just focus on the fact that you said, hey, read it through one time and then read it, you know, as you need to master maybe different things like doubt or whatever. Because in order to achieve anything, in order to be good at anything, you have to really have that master type of mindset, right? Can't cook food one time and become the best at it, or music or book or speaking. You have to do it over and over again. It's all about the repetition.
Right. You know, it makes me think of our daughter who wanted to take guitar lessons. And, of course, she wanted to pick up that guitar and play just like Taylor Swift, right, the first time.
Sure, we all did.
She realized, this is really hard work. Like, my fingers hurt. Like, you know, I have to practice. I don't even like this song. It's like, well, you have to learn the basics and so that you can play that beautiful song down the road. So in my father was an electrician, and so as we're talking about mastery, I think about the different stages that he went through. You know, first you're a beginner. Do I want to be an electrician? And then you become an apprentice. You begin to learn, begin to study. And then you are a journeyman. Like, that's when you really begin to take action, implement, become more natural at those skills. And finally, mastery, it becomes a way of life. And one thing that my coaches love about me is that I'm an implementer. I don't just, you know, read the book and go put it on the shelf or here, go through the coaching session and go on my merry way. I take really good notes and I begin to implement the things that they tell me to do. And then I begin to really practice it and apply it to then where I want to teach it to others. So it kind of seems like this cycle in my life where I try new things, I learn it, implement it, and then want to pass that story, that inspiration on to others.
Gotcha. No, I like that. Absolutely. And that is one of the keys, is to be an implementer. Take notes, mm-hmm. but ultimately you got to take action. Let me ask you this. What words of wisdom would you offer to someone who feels that success is always just out of reach?
It's really about overcoming doubt. You know, it's some of these stories that go through our head are self-imposed. We keep telling ourselves over and over again that this is too hard. I'll never hit that revenue goal. How will I do that? And once you can overcome your doubt, then really anything is possible. That's the biggest thing that's holding you back, is the doubt that you have about yourself. And there are the resources. There's help available. Maybe if you need to hire some people or have, you know, bring some people aboard that have the skills that you need to achieve your goal. For me, it was really, you know, changing the story, changing the words that I kept, this like tape that kept playing in my mind, and just telling it no. When it would say, you know, during the big drive, I would think, you know, I had stiff, like my competition was amazing and they scared me. And I kept, every time I had a sense of doubt, gosh, how am I going to do this? I would say, no, that car is mine. I don't know how. I'm excited to see how this unfolds. It kind of like, I wonder how this is going to happen. Kind of questioning in my mind, to invite in solutions, to invite in, opportunities to, and it did happen that way. I had people calling me out of nowhere, strategic partners approaching me that wanted me to build systems so I could sell Infusionsoft in batches instead of just one-off. So when you get rid of that doubt, and we have to be very intentional about it, because, you know, it just keeps, you keep telling yourself things over and over again that just aren't true. And when
right.
you can begin to change that message, that's when your mindset shifts and you can succeed.
I totally agree. Jeanette, I'd love to bring you back and talk more about achieving success and crushing doubt our self-talk. Jeanette Gleason, thank you so much for stopping by today.
Thank you so much, Bert. This was a lot of fun.
All righty. Good stuff there from Jeanette Gleason. The book is The Road to Sweet Success. What I love about this book is right there on the cover is Jeanette with that Camaro that she won. So this is something that happened shortly within the last few years of her life. My point being is she was a stay-home mom. As I said before, it's a very difficult job to be a stay-home mom. And then she quickly mastered this thing called Infusionsoft, and if you're not familiar with Infusionsoft, it's an email marketing / CRM type software. It's a cloud-based thing, and there's several of them out there. Infusionsoft is just one of them. Just great information in that book, and you need to check it out. Jeanette Gleason again is the author, and the book one more time, The Road to Sweet Success. I would get it, read it, apply it, and then read it again. Remember, most importantly, you were created to succeed.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch. And check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.